But today I'd like to begin the sermonette with reading to you from an article which was published this morning in The Local. And it says, in contrast to previous frosty receptions from Angela Merkel to David Cameron's pushes for reform, she welcomed the newly re-elected prime minister and promised constructive talks. Where there's a will, there's a way, Merkel said. We can't say that treaty change is totally impossible. We already have a multi-speed Europe, Merkel said, noting that some EU member states remained outside the euro single currency and the Schengen free travel zone. We will continue to have two speeds, and I do not see a problem with that. One surprise came when Merkel suggested that Germany itself might have changes of its own if Britain's push for reform bore fruit. Both countries made much of their mutual economic interests, with Cameron noting that Germany is the biggest European investor in the UK. The two leaders' close harmony was in contrast to the lukewarm agreement from French President François Hollande at a Paris meeting with Cameron on Thursday. And after her own meeting with Cameron, Polish Prime Minister Ewa Kopacz said that her country would respond with a definite no to his hoped for migration reforms. So why am I reading this to you? I'm reading this because a scripture came to mind immediately when I read this article, which we find in Hosea chapter 5. And I'd like you to please turn with me to this passage, Hosea chapter 5. Let's start reading in verse 8. It says, blow the ram's horn in Gibeah, the trumpet in Ramah, cry aloud at Beth Avon, look behind you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel, I made known what is sure. Now we should all know that Ephraim today is the UK, including Great Britain and perhaps even other English-speaking Commonwealth nations. Notice verse 13. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Jareb, that he cannot cure you nor heal you of your wound. And then it goes on to say that God is going to deal with Ephraim. So what we see here in this passage is that there's going to be attempts made to get help from modern Assyria, which is Germany. But ultimately, those attempts will fail. And ultimately, as we have said for many, many decades, Ephraim, or the UK, will leave the EU. And there's going to be a war breaking out between continental Europe under German leadership and Great Britain, which Great Britain will lose. So now, based on these most recent developments, it is interesting that Ephraim is again trying to get help from Germany, and Germany is apparently willing to an extent to do so because of personal reasons, but God says it's not going to work out. It's not going to accomplish anything. Now, as we have pointed out before, the election of David Cameron, I believe, was no accident, because the discussions we are having right now in Europe regarding whether England is going to stay in the EU or not wouldn't have taken place under another leadership, under Mr. Milbrandt, who said definitely he's going to have England stay in Europe. Now, we are not making any prognostications whether the referendum which England is trying to have in 2017 or 2016 will lead to the exodus. We don't know that. It's possible, but we don't know that, and we most certainly are not going to set any dates. But what we are seeing is a certain development taking place in Europe and in Germany. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 23, we find an interesting prophecy in verse 13. Isaiah 23 and in verse 13. It says, "Behold, the land of the Chaldeans, this people which was not, Assyria founded it for wild beasts of the desert." So this passage tells us that ancient Assyria founded the land of the Chaldeans. And so it will be the modern Assyrians, mainly the German-speaking peoples, who will lead the final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. In ancient times, the Chaldeans were Babylon's religious leaders, astrologers, and magicians. Now, in the book of Habakkuk, an interesting prophecy is made beginning in verse 5. Habakkuk chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. It says, "Look among the nations and watch, and we are here and stand watch. Look among the nations and watch, be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you." My sermonette today is talking about the work in Germany. Here God is saying that he would do a work in our days, and we wouldn't believe it if it had been told us. So he says, verse 6, notice what that work includes. "For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses are also swifter than leopards." Have you ever heard the word blitzkrieg? "And more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat." Because many countries have an eagle as a symbol, but so does have modern Assyria. "They all come for violence," verse 9. "Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand, and they scoff at kings, and princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold, for they heap up mounds of earth and seize it." A future world war is described here, which is first of all, to begin with, directed against the United States of America, Great Britain, and the State of Israel, when the final and last revival of the ancient Roman Empire in Europe has reached its climax under German leadership. But the interesting thing is that that is not all the kind of work God is going to do, because Paul, the Apostle Paul, would later quote this passage. And keep your finger here in the book of Habakkuk. In the book of Acts, chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 32. Paul is declaring and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel which Jesus Christ brought. The gospel which of course includes the fact that Jesus Christ died for us and that through him we can have salvation. We read in verse 32, "And we declare to you glad tidings," good news, "that promise which was made to the fathers. And God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus. As it was also written in the second psalm, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you,' and that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, 'I will give you the sure mercies of David.' Therefore he also says in another psalm, 'You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption.'" Now, verse 38. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Verse 40. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Verse 41. Behold, you despise us, marvel and perish. And now he quotes the scripture from Habakkuk. For I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. God is saying here, through Habakkuk, as quoted by Paul, that his work, the end time preaching of the gospel, would go hand in hand with the rise of the last revival of that ancient Roman Empire in Europe. And God is also saying that the preaching of the gospel would be a powerful but short, very short work. Notice this in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 and verse 28. It says, for he will finish the work, and he will cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. The last final revival of the ancient Roman Empire, when it comes about, will come about very quickly, surprisingly to most people. And the preaching of the gospel will also be short. Surprisingly so, for many people. To say it again, the Bible prophesies that at the time when the powerful preaching of the gospel message is being revived, modern Babylon will rise once again in Europe as the seventh and very short-lived resurrection of the ancient Holy Roman Empire, a combination of church and state, when the religious fallen woman will be once more riding the political and military beast. And these are topics which I'm going to address in great detail next month in our three-part prophecy sermon series. But notice Isaiah chapter 29, beginning in verse 13. Isaiah 29 and verse 13. Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men, therefore behold, I will again do a marvelous work among the people, a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. Again, we find that God is going to do a marvelous work. It's a short work. It's a powerful work. It's going to happen very quickly. Satan knows that. We read in Revelation chapter 12, and in verse 12, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Do we know that? Looking at the signs of the time, do we realize how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ? Do we realize how much of a powerful work, even though a short work, has to be done? In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter is giving all of us the following admonition. 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 7. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. We are here to stand watch, to report about political events in the light of biblical prophecy, but we also have to stand watch so that we can become worthy in the eyes of God. And so we need to be watchful in our prayers. Verse 8, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Brethren, I have mentioned these things to give you a flavor as to the challenges ahead and the challenges with which we are already confronted, especially in Germany. You see, I have mentioned several times how I believe Satan has been very busy trying to stop certain aspects of the work we are trying to do here. And he most certainly has been very busy to try to stop certain aspects of the work we are trying to accomplish over there in Europe. He has been quite busy in, how can I put this now, inspiring, motivating, perhaps getting to some people, fortunately not many, but some people in the German church to leave our organization. Now some have gone nowhere. Some have attended, are attending another Church of God organization in Germany. In one case, I had to disfellowship a person, and that person then went to this other organization, and this person then was welcomed there with open arms, even though I specifically contacted the leader of that organization to let him know that we should talk about this. Well, there was no interest to talk about this at all. Let me just say that it makes no difference whether that particular individual I'm thinking of or others left us and then went to another organization. Whether they did go to another organization or not is not the point. It's totally immaterial because the problems are still there and need to be addressed. And they're not being addressed, you see. Satan is very active. Some are discouraged for whatever reason. Here in the United States, in other parts around the world, and also, of course, in Europe. Perhaps especially in Europe, when they see what is all happening, how religion is becoming more and more an extremely powerful force, trying to suppress just about every organization which doesn't go along with either the Catholic or the Protestant viewpoints. Some think, well, we can just go wherever we want to because we all believe in the same thing, which of course, if they would only listen, they would know that's false. But some don't want to listen. Some don't care. Some use a justification for their conduct so that it sounds good in their own ears and eyes, but frankly, God isn't fooled. At the same time, I bring this up because I ask you, brethren, for your prayers. The point I want to make is that we have a work to do, and Satan knows it, and he will try everything he can to stop it. And we must fight Satan, and the only most effective way to do it is to pray to God for his help, for his strength, for the work and for the individuals, for the individual membership, and that goes for Germany, that goes for the United States of America, that goes for Great Britain, that goes for Canada, that goes for the Philippines. In fact, we have received several nice memos from the Philippines. Wherever God's people are, we should never forget to do that. Quite frankly, right now, more so than ever, because we know that the one who is with us is much greater than the one who is in this world, but again, we need to make sure that we tell God how serious we are about it.